Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got a really interesting, maybe unusual task today.
Yeah.
We're looking at two sources that on the surface seem worlds apart.
Okay.
One's a proposed strategy for major military reform, high stakes stuff.
Right.
And the other, it's the core framework for a high performance civilian business culture.
Ah, okay. I see where you're going. Comparing the two.
Exactly. And what we found wasn't just, you know, a little overlap. It's practically an identical blueprint for how you run things effectively. It doesn't matter if it's military or corporate.
That is striking. So we're talking about Pete Hegseth's War Department address, the one that got a lot of attention.
Oh, the one.
And comparing it to the Lumen business culture principles.
Yes. And look, we need to be really clear here. The military document, it's about significant reform, potentially controversial ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus today isn't the politics or the specific military context, not at all. We're looking at the structural principles,
yeah.
Leadership ideas.
Right, extracting the universal lessons, the ones that apply anywhere.
Exactly. We're focused purely on the, let's call it the engineering of success.
And the core philosophy, it sounds like, is the same in both.
It really is. It boils down to this. Personnel is policy, restore standards, reward merit, train hard, empower leaders. That's how you win.
That sounds pretty direct.
And the argument from the source material is that these aren't just military rules, they're universal. A manual for any team trying to be excellent.
So our mission today, break that down.
Simple. We pull out seven key strategies that overlap, connect the dots, you know, battlefield to boardroom.
And make it actionable. Translate it so you, listening, can apply it to your team, your business, right now.
Perfect. Okay, let's dig in. Where do we start? Both sources agree the biggest blocker is, well, it's fear.
Ah, the culture of fear. Yeah. Risk avoidance.
So let's call this first part the courage culture.
Okay. And what's fascinating is how both frameworks go straight for the jugular on this one.
Yeah.
They attack that risk-averse mindset immediately.
Which brings us neatly to key principle one, initiative without punishment. The military reform plan specifically talks about ditching the zero defect mindset.
Which means what in practice?
It means getting rid of these career-long penalties for earnest mistakes. You try something bold, it doesn't quite work out. You learn, you don't get sidelined forever.
And that's critical, isn't it? Because innovation just dies if people think one honest mistake, one calculated risk that fails, tanks their career.
Absolutely.
The Lumen framework echoes this completely, calls it initiative without punishment. It's specifically designed to encourage smart risk-taking.
Smart risk-taking.
Yeah, and you have to differentiate, don't you?
Yeah.
Between an earnest mistake made trying to achieve the goal versus just negligence or carelessness. They're not the same thing.
That's a crucial distinction. So the insight here for any organization is if you want people coming up with solutions, finding better ways, you have to actively dismantle the fear of trying.
Right. Remove the punishment for honest effort.
The operating principle, and this is straight from the source, is courage beats caution.
Hmm. If you reward caution above all else.
You get stagnation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People play it safe. Nothing changes. Nothing improves.
And this focus on courage, it naturally leads to the next point, doesn't it? Because
Okay. You
can only really empower people to be courageous if you trust their competence.
Competence that you can actually measure.
Which demands accountability.
Yeah.
Verifiable excellence.
Which brings us to key principle three. Merit first.
Everywhere.
Meritocracy.
And the sources. They're absolutely ruthless on this. Standards need to be high. They need to be uniform. No exceptions.
Right.
And promotions based solely on measurable performance.
Yeah.
What you actually achieve and demonstrate.
Yeah. Meritocracy can't just be a buzzword or a poster on the wall. It has to be the organization's like operating system.
Operating system. I like that.
In business, that means things you can quantify. Clear goals, maybe OKRs. Skill assessments, actual leadership capability demonstrated, not just who's been there longest or who writes the nicest emails.
Uh-huh.
Because if your system lets poor performers just hang around or promotes based on tenure instead of ability.
You're sending a terrible signal to your best people. You're telling them the standards don't really matter.
And that's where the actionable part gets, well, tough. The directive is blunt, reward the best, coach the rest.
Coach the rest. Or manage them out.
Exactly. It means promoting faster when someone really shows merit. But the flip side is you have to address poor performance sooner, exit people who aren't cutting it. You can't let that stagnation just fester in the middle ranks.
No, because it drags everyone down, kills morale for the top performers, signals that mediocrity is acceptable.
Okay, so we've covered selecting and promoting the best based on merit. What about making sure they have the right skills, the deepest capabilities?
Right. That takes us into section two, development and empowerment, how you actually build that competence.
Let's talk training.
Yes. Yeah. Key principle four, back to real training and maintenance. And this is where the critique of, let's say, modern work culture gets pretty sharp.
How so?
Well, think about all the online modules, the endless compliance stuff.
The checkbox training.
Yeah.
The military reform calls for a radical shift away from that. Less time clicking through mandatory modules, more time doing the actual work. In their context, that's the field, the motor pool, the range.
More hands-on.
Way more hands-on. Tougher basic training, too.
And how does that apply to, say, an office environment or a tech company?
Because competence, real skill, it comes from sweat equity. That's the term used.
Mm-hmm. Reps.
Exactly. Practical skills are built through reps. Repetition, application, not by passively watching another PowerPoint presentation.
Or endless decks, as the source calls them. Too much documentation, not enough doing.
Right. The cultural shift needed is to literally move time from paperwork to practice.
So if you want practical skills, you need practical learning.
Mm-hmm.
Simulations, maybe. Shadowing,
yeah.
Dedicated time doing the thing.
That's the idea. Continuous hands-on learning, invest the time.
Okay, but then if you invest all that time and resource into training people properly, making them really skilled.
And you have to trust them, right? You absolutely have to trust them to use those skills.
Which leads straight into the next principle.
Key principle five, empower the doers. Give them the reins.
This sounds like a direct attack on bureaucracy. A structural fix for when things get bogged down.
It is. The sources talk about cutting weaponized bureaucracy.
Weaponized bureaucracy. That's a strong phrase. What does that even mean?
It means process that isn't actually about safety or efficiency. It's process designed to stall change or maybe let managers punish people who take initiative, process as an obstacle.
Wow. And ending the feeling of walking on eggshells.
Yeah, that phrase appears in a War Department proposal. Think about that.
It tells you that excessive process, micromanagement, it's a universal problem. It kills agility everywhere.
So the solution proposed?
Put the authority back where the work gets done, with the frontline managers, the team leads, the people actually operating.
Match decision rights with responsibility.
Exactly. If the person responsible for the outcome doesn't have the authority to make the call, the whole system just grinds to a halt.
Mm.
Luhmann talks about strong spans of control, fast, fair process, not slow, obstructive process.
So the core idea is push power to the edge.
Push power to the edge. Give the person closest to the problem the actual authority to solve it.
Assuming, of course, you've trained them well.
Principle four.
Right. And you know they're competent because you promoted them on merit.
Principle three. It all connects.
Then they're ready for that power. You have to trust them.
But that ability to decentralize power, to push it out to the edge, it depends entirely on the quality of your leaders, doesn't it?
Their competence, sure, but also their character, their moral compass.
Exactly. Which brings us to section three, the leadership principles themselves, the character of the commander or the manager.
Okay, let's start with key principle two, prophetic, forward-looking leadership. Yeah, the military source talks about rooting the mission in something bigger, duty, service, setting a clear moral frame. Their example, prepare for war to keep peace. It's about the why, the purpose behind the tasks.
Okay, connecting that to business. Teams pull together. They really align only when leaders are crystal clear about the future. Where are we going? And what values guide us on that journey?
Right.
Luhmann calls this prophetic leadership. It means clarity, conviction, a direction that goes beyond just hitting next quarter's numbers.
And if the team understands the destination and why the journey matters,
they move faster, way less internal friction, less confusion about priorities.
So the takeaway is simple. Vision creates velocity. Clear purpose equals speed. Without it, people are just running in different directions.
And that clarity, that vision, it puts a huge responsibility on the leader, which leads to maybe the ultimate test of that leadership.
What do you mean?
Well, leadership shouldn't just be measured by results, right? Or profit or mission success. It also has to be about protecting and developing the people in your charge.
Ah, okay. Which brings us to key principle six. This one is, well, it's a very specific, very human test for leaders.
Go on.
Hegseth proposes what he calls the golden rule test.
Golden rule test.
Ask yourself this. Would you want your own son or daughter serving in that unit under that leader?
Wow.
If the answer is no, You have a serious problem, an ethical failure, an operational failure. You need to fix the standards, or you need to fix the leadership immediately.
That is not a standard most corporate leaders are explicitly measured against, is it? It reframes accountability completely.
How so?
It shifts from just, say, maximizing shareholder value to actively protecting your human capital. It makes accountability incredibly personal.
Right.
It demands leaders who truly own outcomes and protect their people. They have to create an environment that's not just high-performing, but also fundamentally safe and supportive for the people relying on them.
The instruction is just lead like your family serves under you.
It demands a level of integrity, of competence. You can't fake that. You can't hide that behind metrics for long.
If you wouldn't put your own kid in that situation, why on earth would you put your best employee there, or any employee?
And this focus on character, on protection, it brings us right back around to the foundation of this whole thing. Key principle 7.
The moral spine.
Yeah. High performance, sustained performance. It can't just run on metrics and targets.
Right.
Or fear. It needs meaning.
Hegseth roots the military mission in duty, sacrifice, love of country, you know, a higher purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And in the business world, Lumen connects excellence directly to purpose. They argue that purpose fuels grit.
Makes sense. If your team doesn't understand the why,
yeah,
why they're working so hard, why they need to be resilient.
Right. If the vision is just about hitting a market share number.
Then the toughness, the courage that these standards demand, it won't last. People burn out or they check out.
Immoral frame, the purpose. That's the long-term fuel source.
And the really striking thing, looking at both sources, is that this foundation character, courage, competence, it's the absolute core of a high-trust, high-performance culture, whether it's military or civilian.
They succeed by simplifying the rules around values, making them clear and non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're listening and you're thinking, right, I want to build this kind of culture, let's quickly recap. Let's list out those 7 specific actionable things businesses can, well, steal from this combined playbook.
Okay, these are the structural changes, the levers you can pull.
First, publish your mission, one sentence, memorable. Everyone gets it.
Second, install standards you can actually measure objectively. And then coach like crazy to meet them.
Third, protect bold, honest effort. Make that crucial distinction between an honest mistake and just negligence. Don't punish trying.
Fourth, shift time. Less paperwork, more practice. Real reps beat digital decks every single time.
Fifth, promote faster but strictly on merit. And conversely, deal with poor performance sooner. Protect the team.
Sixth, push authority down, power to the edge, give frontline folks the power to act, but hold them accountable, fairly and fast.
And seventh, apply that golden rule test to every leader. Is this a place you'd want your own family? If not, fix it.
And what's just incredible, reinforcing how universal these are, is when you see the exact same phrases pop up in both sources.
Yeah, you mentioned the core philosophy overlap. Give us another specific example.
Okay, demanding transparency. Absolute honesty in reporting, especially bad news.
Right.
Both Hegseth and the Lehman framework use the identical phrase. Leaders must say with your mouth what you see with your eyes.
Wow. No sugarcoating.
None. Pure, uncompromising clarity. Because, as they say, bad news doesn't get better with age.
Okay. What about risk? Taking chances.
Same thing. The directive to encourage calculated risk is shared. Hegseth tells his teams, take risks. Make mistakes, learn fast.
And Lumen.
Exactly the same principle drives their push for rapid innovation. Take smart risks, learn quickly from failures, adapt.
The conclusion seems pretty inescapable then.
It really does. The foundation is character, courage, and competence. Those are the ingredients. High trust, high performance culture, doesn't matter the industry.
So this deep dive really shows whether you're leading soldiers or software engineers, it boils down to the same things. Favor initiative over just sitting tight.
Mm-hmm.
Merit over just messaging or politics.
Right.
Real training over just talking about training. It's a culture shift. Demands clarity, toughness.
And fundamentally, a moral frame. One that protects the people doing the hard work.
Which brings us back to that final principle, the moral spine.
Exactly. Principle 7. Because, and this is another direct quote from the material, when values are clear, decisions get easy.
Say that again?
When values are clear, decisions get easy. The argument is that having clear, agreed-upon values is the absolute prerequisite for making good decisions quickly, especially under pressure.
Okay. So, if you're listening and you want to apply this blueprint starting today, build on that idea.
Consider this question. If clear values make decisions easy, What's the one-sentence mission for your team, your organization?
The one sentence that everyone has to agree on right now.
So that all future decisions automatically align with your purpose. Get that sentence right.
That challenge, defining that moral spine clearly, that's your immediate next step. That's how you start applying this blueprint today.